welcome to Freestyle Thoughts, a dance podcast. I'm your host, Anna, and this is episode 10. Today, we are talking about a very specific dance, and I have linked a couple of videos in the description, so please feel free to check them out, and please enjoy the episode. Okay. So I've been doing Chinese dance for a long time, if that wasn't clear by this point. And I definitely have my favorite and least favorite dances. Obviously, the solo that corresponds to the podcast music, it's a dance that's near and dear to my heart. But the real question is, which dance am I the proudest of? Which dance do I feel like I worked hard for and managed to execute well? It's a question that could seem difficult, but honestly, to me, after even just a little bit of thought, the answer is fairly clear. Spoiler alert, it is not the fan solo dance. Otherwise, I suppose we would not be having this episode. So the dance that I am absolutely the proudest of is called Ba Nu To Dian. And this is a pretty heavy dance. It's based off of a true story. But try as I might, I could not find an article about this actual story. Apparently, there is a Chinese movie based off of the story. And that was the most I could find of it. I have linked a couple of videos to them. One is a practice video that I was a part of, and the other video is a video of the professionals and what the dance is actually supposed to look like. Just if you decide to watch the practice version, please keep in mind that the oldest of us was, I believe, 15 when that video was being filmed. So this dance, Ba Nu To Dian, depicts eight women fighting the Japanese during World War II. And after a long, harrowing battle, these eight young women are backed up against a cliff. There is a flowing river below them, and the Japanese are blocking off their only safe means of escape and retreat. The women fight until they are out of ammo, and then cast themselves into the river below to evade capture. This dance depicts that realization and their final resolve. In the dance, after the last ammunition was used, the women decide to cast themselves into the river, as the story goes. But that is not before each of the eight is recognized by name. And then the dancers recreate the supposed last picture of these eight women. And then the dance ends with the women casting themselves into the river, symbolized by all eight women walking upstage as the music fades. If you've been paying attention to my Chinese dance episodes, it's pretty clear that all Chinese dance requires acting to some degree, but this dance in particular, at least to me, required the next level of acting. For the majority of the dance, there is no smiling, obviously. And, you know, it's acting. So we had to learn how to look like we were running for our lives, even though we were only traversing a pretty small amount of stage. And, you know, we had to learn how to act in a way that we hadn't had to learn how to act before. We had to understand that these people had to be brave as they were understanding their dire circumstances and bring that depiction, bring that story to life. So we learned this dance for a performance that was in September 2015, but we started learning this dance, I believe, right after our 2016 Lunar New Year performance. And that was fairly unusual, because we usually started learning the new dance over the summer, and we would have a couple of months of downtime before we moved on to the next dance. I would say at least at that school, the way that the dance cycle would work is that we would learn a new dance that we would have for the September performance. And then the time between September and January, we would learn an additional dance. So by January, we have a new dance and a dance that we had for the September performance. And then after that, from then until some point in the summer, we would focus on stretching and technique, and it would overall be kind of this cool down, and then the cycle would start again. So for Banu Totian, we started learning this dance pretty soon after the Lunar New Year performance. I would say usually the downtime, we would work on general technique and general flexibility. And sometimes that technique would make it into the dance in the September performance. But this time around, I would say that we were learning the movements of the dance, knowing that they were absolutely going to be in the dance. Like each combination that we were learning, we kind of knew that it was going to go into this dance. I'm not sure if we knew what the dance was, but I think from what I recall, if you will, the vibes were different. So we were given a lot more time with this dance so that we could become better masters of this dance. Because, again, it was so important for us to truly master this dance in a way that we hadn't previous dances. I mean, previously, we would learn enough and work on it enough just to be able to execute it well enough. But I wouldn't say that we necessarily mastered the dances, if you know what I mean. Also, please keep in mind that we're early high school at best. At this point, more time with the dance would allow us to better understand how deeply grave the story was, how important it was for us to get the acting down right, and how important it was for us to just do it right. I mentioned that we had to learn how to run like we were desperately running for our lives, even though we weren't actually traveling a lot of space. And I remember that we literally spent some time during practice running back and forth across the room, and my dance teacher would give us individual feedback on how we ran. For anyone who is asking, the feedback that I first got was that I was too graceful, which I think makes sense given that my only exposure at the time was Chinese dance. But now, post basic, I think that feedback is funny. But overall, we didn't really focus on the acting at first. At the end of the day, this dance is a very physically intensive dance. So we had to actually be able to do the dance and to have the physical strength and stamina to execute it and execute it decently well. There is a slow section in the middle, and I guess that's pretty common with a lot of Chinese dances, but this one has very different movements. This part of the dance is meant to emphasize that at the end of the day, these eight women were young women. And I guess the way that this scene depicts it, it's that they're dreaming of being married, because I suppose they're all young enough to not be married yet. But that dream is never going to come true because the reality of their situation is so much more dire. So given that both sections that bookend the slow section are fighting and war, this middle section is very dreamlike, very wistful, the movements are extremely different and they have a softer tone to it. And it sounds a lot easier. It looks a lot easier than the rest of the dance, but it's not. That section is an absolute ab workout. when we were first doing that section, I remember that we as a collective were literally shaking, but by drilling this dance, we were able to build up enough strength to actually do that without shaking, or at least I did. I am pretty sure some of the younger dancers in that group found a way to cheat the movement so that it didn't work out their abs as much. Overall, I would say this dance required a lot of technique that actually overlapped with the wushu skill set more so than a traditional Chinese dance skill set. And this sort of technique became especially apparent right when the music gets really intense after that slow section. By this point in my life, I had stopped doing wushu for, I believe, a year and a half or so. But that training had put me at an advantage. Wushu had taught me a way of how to fall properly, and not in like a stuntman way, but I knew it was more of eradicating that fear of falling. I knew that if I fell correctly, there was nothing to fear. And what I mean by this was that my long fist forms would end with a section where I would catch my leg in front and then I would fall into the splits. And when you do that, you're actually landing on your thighs and that completely cushions the blow. So I knew that landing on my thighs wasn't going to hurt because, I mean, the thighs are a fairly fatty part of the body. It's not like falling and hitting your knees on the ground. It wasn't going to bruise in the same way. So I guess to describe this section, right after the slow part ends, this is the part where all seven dancers are in a line. And more specifically, I'm talking about the part that kicks off the floor combo. And that movement that starts that gets the dancers onto the floor, the dancers basically collapse onto the ground. And the way you're supposed to collapse and fall properly is you kind of you throw your weight so that you're landing on your thigh and you're not being caught by your knee. And this movement was something that very much intimidated the other dancers. I believe they referred to this movement as the part where you fell onto your knees, which is definitely incorrect. You're being caught by your thighs, not your knees, but it's supposed to look like your knees are catching you because I suppose it's as if you were being cut down by the enemy. And that's the intention of that movement, right? But in execution, you're landing on your thigh. And I don't remember how we were told to do this movement because I know my dance teacher did not demonstrate this movement. And I wish I could remember one of those early practices where we were learning this fall because I think it was hilarious in hindsight, or I'm betting it would have been hilarious in hindsight. And I know the people who were there, I am the most likely to remember what happened. So I suppose this memory is lost to the erosion of time. But I don't know. I just imagine the seven of us. I guess it was technically six of us because one of us wasn't doing this movement in the choreography. But I just can't imagine our dance teacher being like, okay, now this part, everyone just falls like that. And you see that? Now do it. I just can't. I'm pretty sure that's how it went if I think about it and how some movements were taught. But I can't imagine being in that situation. Maybe that's because I'm so far removed from it. Or maybe it's just the absurdity that we could have been realistically shown this movement that is basically a fall and then being told to try to do that, because I cannot, I'm guessing that I was one of the first ones to actually do it, because I can't imagine anybody else in that room being particularly eager to do that movement. I mean, at the end of the day, a lot of dance is just about committing to what you're doing, and this fall movement is that to the next level, because you can't, I mean, I suppose there are ways that you can not commit to the fall, but at least for this movement, you had to commit to it. Like, you absolutely had to commit to the fall to land properly, because at least of the people who tried to bail out of the fall at the last seconds, they ended up like hurting their knee or catching their knee when they absolutely did not have to catch their knee on that fall. But if I recall correctly, that was actually one of the earliest parts of the dance that we learned, probably because it was the hardest. And I remember my dance teacher really drilling us on that part. And at the beginning, a good number of us weren't falling properly. That may be that in terms of form and execution, or in terms of getting the mental, like making your mind tell your body to fall on time. And I remember, I definitely know that my dance teacher at some point was just like, okay, Anna's going to do it and everyone's going to watch. And I remember my dance teacher being sort of like, oh, like I should be the one to give a tip, since apparently I was the only person at that point doing the fall correctly. And honestly, my tips were not particularly helpful. A lot of falling is trusting that you know how to properly catch yourself and brace yourself. And it's kind of hard to do when you don't trust yourself. But again, not to brag, but I suppose I was, at the time, I was able to do it best in regards to execution, but also in regards to timing. Among my Chinese dance friends, I had two skills. One is memorization, clearly, and the other one was actually good timing, or a good instinct for timing, rather. So when we were learning the dance, that means that everyone would look to me for not only memorization, but also timing sometimes. So I've talked around this a little bit, but we only had 7 people in my dance class. So the 8th person was actually originally going to be filled by one of my friends, but then she got promoted to a different dance class and also promptly kicked out of the dance. Like, recently, we met up with our other friends, and I was talking about how I was recording this podcast, and this dance came up, and one of the first comments she makes is, oh, the war dance? You mean the one that I got kicked out of? Which is kind of funny. But we only had 7 people in my dance class, so that was only 7 out of 8 slots filled. So the 8th person actually ended up being filled out by a dance teacher who was around our height. But she only did the dance with us when we had dress rehearsal or when it was the actual performance. So we did this dance with the other teacher with like maybe a maximum of 4 different times. And her timing was kind of off for the whole dance, but it's really noticeable for that end part. And I think once this timing issue became evident, my dance teacher was trying to get all 7 of us to switch our timing, but it was already too late for me. That timing was locked into my memory. That ship had sailed. And my dance teacher would later admit that we had the right timing, but she felt awkward correcting the other teacher. And I suppose this actually goes into what we were talking about last week, because I believe my dance teacher, she was older than this other dance teacher, and she was more experienced than the other dance teacher. So it's very interesting that I think in more ways this dance was my teacher's dance more so than this other teacher's dance, that she still saw this other dance teacher as some sort of equal enough to feel awkward about correcting her about her timing. This could also just be a saving face thing. I don't have the performances for these dances, so I don't really remember if this dance teacher ended up actually being in sync with us. I remember, at least for the Lunar New Year performance, I remember keeping her in the corner of my eye because I was near her in that straight line formation. And I remember thinking that the timing was the same as me and the rest of us. But I don't know, maybe my dance teacher ended up saying something to her. So after we learned the dance and started to clean it, it really just became a matter of drilling it. And it was during this time that we got so many talks about how important this dance was from our teacher, from our teacher's husband, from other random people who were aware of this dance happening. It was insane. And we also just ended up working on that end part a lot, where the dancers turn around one by one when called by name. And I suppose we simply didn't have the acting chops for that part enough. I mean, some of us were better at turning around as if our name was being called better than others. I was not one of those people. I did not do a good job at this part, guys. I did a very bad job, repeatedly. I remember being called out about it by my teacher's husband and people translating because I didn't know Mandarin. Like, oh, yeah, like pretend like it's your name being called. And I still couldn't do it, guys. I'm embarrassed on behalf of my 16-year-old self. So the names are called. We try to recreate that photo that is the last photo of the seven women. And then we walk upstage to cast ourselves into the river. And this part, the way that this part is supposed to work is that you have the recreation of the photo, and then kind of randomly, not particularly in sync, not just kind of almost spontaneously, the eight break away and then start walking into the river, walking upstage. And we were told instructions, we weren't told any timing, just to break away and start walking upstage. And we were told specifically to not be in sync about it. And we could not do that out of sync for some reason. And it was ironic because we had such issues getting everything else in sync. But another little aside, right after that final shot is made, there is this group hug before the names are called. It's a group hug. I guess it's supposed to be like a final goodbyes, a final comfort, whatever. And it's a very moving part of the dance for sure. But in execution, listen, guys, listen. We were drilling this dance in the Arizona summer. That group hug was the sweatiest and grossest hug I have ever had to experience. And in this hug, it's one by one joins this group hug. I was unfortunately one of the earlier, my timing was such that I had to join this group hug before a lot of the other dancers. And each time someone joined the group hug, the air would just get warmer because there's more breathing and panting because we're all sweating super hard. And each added person would kind of rock the group. And I remember that we were trying so hard to not topple over to make it look like we were super steady and that we weren't particularly out of breath. It was disgusting, guys. I still remember it disgusting because literally, not only are we in the Arizona sun, but we're also sweating a lot because the dance is physically intensive. So everyone's slimy and everyone's sliminess made each other more slimy. It's bad. But somehow that execution made people tear up. So I guess we did our job. This is actually kind of more of a fun fact. But so obviously that cry in the music when that after that shot, that last shot is done. That cry is in the music. But a lot of people who were watching in the audience of both performances, the both times that we've done this dance, they thought that the person who made the last shot, like the dancer, actually was the one crying. And I don't really have a lot to say about this, but it's just kind of wild. But speaking of performing, so our costumes came pre-dirtied, obviously, I suppose, because this is the final battle, right? But one of the girls' mom, I suppose, we'll call her Minnie, I don't know. But one of the girls' mom, I just thought that Minnie rolled around in the dirt in her costume, I guess. And so she had the costume cleaned. So in Minnie comes for the show with this brand new, very clean costume. And the rest of us who were in this dance were just flabbergasted. We didn't know how to fix it. We were just kind of confused. And at the time when we first saw the costume, we were like, okay, this sounds like a problem for us later. Right now, let's get our makeup ready and our hair done, you know? And we'll figure it out later. And what it comes down to is that we ended up using like dark brown, almost black eyeshadow and just rubbed it all over the costume. And it worked for the stage. So I guess we did a good job, I suppose. But dirtying that costume was actually a lot of fun. But if I remember correctly, the craziest part was that this was for the Lunar New Year show. So we had already done that dance in September. I suppose Minnie's mom just forgot that it was supposed to be dirty. But as a side note on the costumes, I don't know why, but I remember the costumes being, I don't want to say fun, but they were different because, I mean, there were unique accessories to differentiate each dancer. And for some reason, because we were stupid 16-year-olds at oldest, we had fun figuring out how to best place our bandages. I don't know why, but we did. But I think, okay, so this is actually a funny bit more, and it's not necessarily about the dance, but so this comes down to how the performance was ordered. So Banu Todian was, it's a heavy act, and given what the set was, there was no way you can order all the acts such that there was kind of a natural transition into Banu Todian. No matter where it was placed in the set, it was going to hit the audience like a truck because of it's a very different tone than all of the other dances. But, I mean, it's still going to be a truck that hits you, but you can make it less of a difficult collision. So I believe this was for the September performance. The order absolutely trolled us. So the dance that was before us was a dance with these little kids in koi fish costumes. And I don't know, that, you know, they were so cute and the music was so serene and they're just kind of walking back and forth. Like, they're adorable little kids who don't have a lot of motor function yet, you know? And I think it was the September performance because I remember us being pretty nervous for that performance because we absolutely knew that the pressure was on to do this dance right. And there was only one chance. And this was the first time we were performing this in front of people. But here we are in the wings. So we're seeing what the audience was currently seeing. And that small koi fish kid dance juxtaposed with what we knew was coming next was just so funny to us. Like, they couldn't, there wasn't a better way to order the acts such that the cute kids came right before the war dance. And we absolutely knew that the audience was going to be in for a severe case of whiplash. So in the wings, we were losing it. We would get to the wings about a dance and a half before our dance was on. So we saw the entirety of this koi fish dance. And that was about 1.5 to 3 minutes range, I would say. So we definitely had time to lose it, find it, and then be serious. But our dance teacher, I don't remember why, but she was in the wings with us. Maybe it was just to give us a last prep talk so that she knew that we knew that the pressure was on. I'm not quite sure. But when she saw all seven of us giggling, I remember she gave us one of the dirtiest looks that she could muster. But if I remember, her dirty look wasn't the reason why we sobered up. We sobered up because of the reason that we were laughing, in that we knew that we were next. We knew that we had to get it together. And let me reiterate, failure or disrespect was not going to be tolerated. So yeah, we, as quickly as we lost it, I would say that we sobered up pretty just as quick. But I think that laugh was actually good for us. We were able to laugh and shake out the giggles and nervous energy before going out onto the stage where absolutely none of that could show. But I wouldn't say that our execution of this dance was particularly wonderful or particularly good, but we did manage to make people tear up, and we even got compliments from some of the harshest parents and dance teachers at the school. So, I mean, that was extremely rewarding, and we were faced with the most challenging dance that we had ever done so far, both in execution and in regards to acting. And we had a lot of time to do it, but somehow we did it. We did it for both the September performance and the Lunar New Year performance. And even the people who saw it the first time and knew what was coming, they teared up the second time as well. It was, honestly, I think for me, it was the first time that I was able to make somebody else feel a real emotion with my dance. Something that was deeper than like, oh, pretty, and variations of that. Honestly, I think parts of me wishes that we did that dance when I was a little bit older, because in some ways that would have been my magnum opus, kind of. But I was only in 10th grade when we were doing that dance, so considering that I was the oldest of the seven of us, i.e. the group of us that were not the dance teacher, one could even say that it was maybe even more impressive that we were able to pull it off. I'm pretty sure that all of us were in high school, though. Like, we didn't have any eighth graders in that dance. And for anyone who is wondering, I was the person who had the red scarf, bandana, whatever. I'm pretty sure it's a scarf in, like, the professional video, but the costume I had, it was a bandana. So fun facts, the bandana combined with the instructions on how to do my hair, which was two braids, I was giving off some strong Girl Scout energy, because I don't know why, maybe it was the hat. maybe it was just, maybe it was the two braids. Maybe it was that everything combined with my baby face. But we ended up ditching the hat and the hairstyle for one of the performances. Maybe both, I don't remember. But let's talk more about our version of this dance. As background, I would say that dress rehearsal was always a bit late in the night. So kids in the background were tired, which is kind of why they were whining in the video. But if you're paying attention in the back, there is a girl in that koi fish costume. And yeah, you could maybe see why we were laughing. But honestly, watching this video back, I was really brought back to those like early high school days in dance. I found myself smiling so much from the nostalgia. But this was the first time that we did this dance with all 8 of us. And yeah, you can see pretty clearly that her timing is pretty off in this video. But if I'm thinking about it now. And as an amendment to what I said earlier, I think we maybe only did the dance with her a total of 3 times. By 3 times, I mean it was like on 3 separate days, because the day of the performance, we technically did the dance twice. But I mean, that doesn't really count in some ways, just because time in between the dress rehearsal on the stage and the actual performance, it's not enough time to fix major things like a huge timing issue. So I don't know. But one of the dancers in this video, you will notice, did not have the costume. And I don't know why she didn't have it. I mean, first of all, school dress rehearsals were pretty casual. I mean, no one was directly penalized if you weren't wearing a costume properly, but I mean, you were encouraged to at least put on the costume, even if you didn't have all the right parts to the costume. The school rehearsal mostly functioned as a first practice in the costume so that you knew what to change and adjust for the actual performance. So that would mean if you need to pin something down better, or if sometimes people would be missing a piece of their costume because they were getting altered or something. I don't know. But that meant, ultimately, that sometimes costumes were simply not worn, or parts of costumes were missing, whatever. So this dancer wasn't really the kind of dancer to blatantly ignore the rules like that. So I'm guessing that we got the costumes before the school rehearsal, and that dancer was absent from that practice, so she didn't get the costume until the dress rehearsal or after the dress rehearsal, since it could be pretty chaotic. I don't really know. I don't know. But obviously, this dance is a very serious dance, but at least when I'm watching this practice video, I can't help but laugh, because we look like such babies, and we were just so awkward during the slow parts, among other things. Like, I don't really know how to be sharp, and that part right before the slow part and the music, I was trying so hard to hit that boom on time, really, and I could see myself thinking. I don't know, it just makes me laugh at how young mindsetted we were, in both in terms of our dance journeys and just, we had some journeys to go through. I mean, we're not done now. We're still young. But, you know, time between being 16 and a fourth year in university, you do a lot of growing in that time. But this was actually quite a fun trip down memory lane. And, yeah, the dance I'm proudest that I've done is Ba Nu Tou Tian. And it's a dance that I really haven't seen done by other recreational studios, and it's not a dance that I really expect to make any sort of comeback. But my experience was pretty special to me, from the moments of hard work to the lighthearted scrambles to fix a costume or whatever. I'll admit, though, that it's not a dance I tend to think about often, though, but even my friend group I think this is definitely one of those standout dances. So I'm glad that I was able to share it with you today. But as for now, this has been Freestyle Thoughts, a dance podcast. Thank you for listening and join us next week for another episode.